Good morning. Good to be with you. You'll remember that we are in the midst of, almost properly in the middle of a series, looking at the Ten Commandments in our run-up to Easter, and particularly as we go into the season of Lent, which starts this Wednesday. And just as a reminder, there will be a Ash Wednesday service here in this building on Wednesday. On Wednesday at 7. You'll remember that the Ten Commandments are not like rungs on a ladder of achievement as we make our way to God. They're not ways in which we earn our status with the Lord. For sure, they are not some way of work salvation. It wasn't like that with the people of God, with the original Exodus generation. And it's not like that for us either as Christians. Instead, because we have been redeemed in Christ, and because Jesus has fulfilled what Jeremiah calls the new covenant, now the law of God is actually written on our hearts, according to Hebrews 8. It's now actually a part of our spiritual makeup. It's something that stands not outside of us as a judge, but now somehow is living inside of us as a guide by the work of the Holy Spirit. And because we're God's family, we were now called to bear family resemblance and walk this path of freedom, which is the law. Now, the law is going to look, the way that we execute it will look different for us in Christ, but it does give direction to our spiritual and moral lives as we relate to God and for sure as we relate to the world. And the Ten Commandments are the preeminent expression of God's law. Now remember, Moses brought down the two tablets when he was on Sinai. He brought down the two tablets of the law to the people of God. On the first tablet were the first four commandments, and they more or less give indication. How is it that we relate to this holy God? And then on the second tablet, the remaining six, how is it that we relate as the people of God to each other and to the rest of the world? This morning, we're going to be briefly looking at the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Sabbath is just the Hebrew word for stop or cease. It is a day of resting, a day of stopping, a day of ceasing from our normal labors to instead to be in focus with our relationship with God and enjoy God in gathered worship. But in some ways, the fourth commandment, the remember the Sabbath, is a transitional commandment, because while it does give us practical direction for relating to a holy God, rest from your work because God rested from his work, it also extends into our social relations of being with one another and how it is that we look and engage the world. How is it that we're even a witness to the world? So let's look at the fourth commandment. Let's take a little bit of time. I can promise you we're not going to cover everything that we could talk about in this commandment. But here's the first thing that I think the Lord would want us to know about the commandment, the fourth commandment, and it's this: that the Sabbath, or the Christian's Lord's Day, I'm going to be using those interchangeably, and I'll explain why in a little bit. The Sabbath is God making time for his people. Hear me on that again. The Sabbath is God making time for his people. This might be one of the most important things that you hear about the Lord today, that it is time that God has set aside for the purpose of fellowship and being with us, his people, especially as we gather together like this, right, in gathered worship. Now, our passage in Exodus that we had read for us earlier anchors the existence of the Sabbath and what God did in creation. Now, you remember in Genesis 1 and 2, the story there frames out for us a picture of God as creator, really a picture of God as an artisan. You see, he first creates the stuff that he is going to use to form and fill the cosmos. And then through the structure of a series of days, we indeed see God forming a world with land, and seas and skies. And then in just the right way, he places things in them that he has formed that fit, that go with the thing that he has already made. So he makes the sun, the moon, birds for the skies. He makes fish for the water. He makes vegetation and animals for the land. But then it culminates with creatures that Genesis says are unique. They are chock full of dignity because these creatures are like him. They are made in the image and likeness of God, humankind, you and me. Just stop right there. Did you know this morning, if you hear my voice, you have dignity? You have purpose because you have a divine imprint on you. You do. And God has set aside a day to be with you because he loves you and he enjoys you. You see, think of the creation story from Genesis 1 and 2 as a story of God's preparation to receive special company. Everything is prepared and made just so. And now it's time to put everything else that he could be doing on the shelf because the expected people are here. And God wants to share time with those people. He wants to enjoy those people, even to play with those people. It's like God is saying this, the Milky Way, it's running fine. Multnomah Falls, they're falling fine. Raccoons running through the streets of Portland. Everything is kind of like I have set it up. I instead just want to give my time to being with you. I want to stop doing everything else, to enjoy you, to hear from you, and to have you hear from me. Like maybe you know how it feels when you go to visit someone who's invited you over to the place, to their place, and they've cleaned the house and it is spotless, and they have prepared the room where you're going to stay, and the towels are laid out on the bed, and there's maybe even a little glass of water on the bedside stand, and then you can smell the kitchen, right? They have the Dutch oven going, and there's butter cooking, and it's sauteing onions and garlic, and you can smell the bread in the oven or the barbecue outside or whatever it is, and you know the meal is amazing. And you know and you feel welcomed and received with warmth and really some measure of love because of all the preparation and dedication and time set aside for you. How much more then does God do that by making time to be with us on the Lord's Day, on the Sabbath? He sets aside a day and within that day an event, gathered worship, where he says, I will be with you. I will speak to you in scripture. I will listen to you in prayer. I will take joy as you confess my glory in music and song, and I will give you a feast in the Lord's Supper as my dear children know my rest. So hear that. That's the first thing. God is making time for you because he wants you and he enjoys you on the Sabbath, Christian. That's the first thing. Here's the second thing about the Lord's Day, about the Christian Sabbath. The Sabbath is also God's people making time for God. All right, hear me on that. The Lord's Day is also God's people making time for him. Now again, we're being mindful that at all times and everywhere God is present. And because of the priesthood of Christ, and particularly because of his ascension, we always have access to God and can always make time for God any day of the week, any time of the week. But just as God sets aside a designated time to rest from his work, to enjoy us, he calls us to bear family resemblance in our action by likewise resting from our ordinary labors and coming to be with him in the special and dedicated way of gathered worship on Sunday morning. So think of it this way. If God told you, I'm going to meet you on the pink in the pink building at the corner of 15th and Sandy at Tuesday at 5 p.m., you would no doubt show up. And not just because he's meeting you at Voodoo Donuts, but because it's God who is calling you, your creator, your redeemer. We have that kind of setup, that kind of arrangement with worship on Sunday. You see, in particular, we're called not just to cease from doing those good things, our callings, our vocations, those things that we do the 86% of our time, but also in as much as we are able to ensure that those that we have some measure of responsibility for, we want to help make sure that they are also able to meet up with God during this time too. You see, the Sabbath, actually, I told you it's a transitional command because it moves us from what some might want to make just as a private experience of religion, especially in the first three commandments, to making it social, to even making it an issue of justice in relation to others. To put a point on it, if you have responsibility as a boss, if there are folks who are working for you who need not to work so that they can share in God's life by rest and worship, try and make that possible. See, when we come on the Lord's Day to worship, we come to meet with God and to meet with one another in meeting God. And we are meeting with God to get re-grounded in what God has affirmed about us in creation and salvation, that our status and our value is given by Him, that we are what we are by grace alone, through faith alone, and by the action of God alone. You see, we are affirming that our identity, that our value and worth is not simply bound up in what we produce and not simply what we earn or how many people we manage or what we make as a result of our labors. And all of those are good things, by the way. But we are gathering with God and each other and taking a Sabbath rest on Sunday. When we do that, we are actually being somewhat countercultural. Theologian at Duke, Stanley Hauerwas, said, for Christians, Sundays have been essentially us saying to the world, y'all, I'm not showing up today. I'm sitting this one out. And honestly, it's another way of saying salvation is of the Lord. I'm a child of God by grace and God's gift. And if I can put a little bit more of a point on it, the frenetic economy in which we live that both consumes us and then calls us to consume is just not who we are. And it's just not what makes us. And so coming to gathered worship on the day that God has set aside enables us to receive this gift and meet with God. In doing that, we stop for a day from making a living, to encounter God and have brought to mind the meaning for living, to know God and enjoy Him forever. And we acknowledge against the wisdom of the world that man does not live by bread alone. And in the doing of this, and in coming to gathered worship, no doubt God may have occasion to curtail yours and my worldly ambition and set our hearts back to the things of Christ, to set our hearts back to grace. So the Sabbath is God making time for us. It's us making time for God. And then here's my last point. And frankly, this is where we get a little bit woo-woo, and that's the way I like it. Number three, the Sabbath is the time when we enter into eternity. You see, you notice that the Old Testament saints rested and worshiped on Sunday. Why do most Christians, and I say most because not everyone's there, but most Christians worship and rest on Sunday? Christ's resurrection was on Sunday, is the short answer. You see, the first followers of Christ recognized that with his resurrection on Sunday, things were different. Reality was now different, and they began to regularly congregate, to read, to pray, to hear from the Word, to collect money on Sunday instead of Saturday. And we see the New Testament witness this in places like Acts, Revelation, 1 Corinthians, places like that. Now, the shift in the day wasn't just a matter of convenience, but far more significant. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15 notes that when Christ was raised from the dead, he was the first fruits from the dead. But Christ is indeed, I'm just quoting here, but Christ indeed has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who had fallen asleep, the first offerings to God of a new way. For since death came through man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. But as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, and then when he comes, those who belong to him. You see, Jesus Christ, the new Adam, who has been faithful where the old Adam and where we went astray. Jesus, by his resurrection, has kicked off, has inaugurated, has begun new creation. The beginning of the renewal of all things. And we share in that now. We have been united to him by the Spirit, but in gathering on the Lord's Day, we somehow mysteriously, mystically even, as plain and ordinary as this experience might feel to you right now, we are in principle entering into that in this special way. You see, whereas before rest and worship was at the end of the week, looking back to what was done, now in the new creation, the Lord's Day is moved up in the plan of deliverance to the first day of the week, looking forward, because now we look to the final renewal of all things and God setting all things to rights. In a mysterious way, allowing us to share in that ministry as his people. The original Sabbath anticipated a final rest, a final peace and joy, and God getting the world back to rights, which happens through his great Son, our King Jesus. And that's why Paul can say in the passage that we had read to us from Colossians, that the seventh day Sabbath was only a shadow of what is to come, but Christ, our Lord, is the substance. He has accomplished and will bring to completion that what God has set in motion even from the beginning. And God invites you and I to enjoy that work now by resting in his Son. You know, there's a way that you can read the Gospels where it's almost as if you could look at the lens through Jesus fighting with people about what does the Sabbath mean. Like, because there's so many engagements that Jesus has with people who are not arguing whether there is a Sabbath. Everyone is all bought in on that. But how is it that we practice it? What does it look like? What is it about? And there's this amazing invitation in Matthew 11. Right before Matthew 12, Jesus heals on the Sabbath, where Jesus displays that he is Lord of the Sabbath, a very pregnant phrase. He's basically saying, I am the Yahweh of the Sabbath. I am God. Like, he's claiming for himself all the prerogative of creating the Sabbath, but he directs it back to himself. But before he even does that, Matthew 11, he gives this invitation that he's giving to you right now. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you Sabbath. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest, Sabbath, for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Y'all, have you entered into that rest? Have you come back to that rest? Jesus receives you into that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you indeed give us, well, you've already given us the mind of Christ, if we are in Christ. So help us to believe and receive all of the gifts that you lay out for us. And especially we pray, thinking of ourselves in light of what you have done for us in your cross and resurrection, thinking of ourselves as anchored in who you have made us, not what we perform, produce, achieve, not by what we do at work, not how big hot shots we are there, how much money we have, though all of those things we recognize as gifts, and we want to keep doing them in faith, but rather we prioritize them according to your word, recognizing that they are gifts. And so we take this day to worship, to praise you, and to rest. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.